Rick, tell me what a spring training is like with Terry Francona.
Oh, it's beautiful. I mean, it's like night and day compared to it has been. Terry's been around, and he's been through it before. He's been in some difficult cities. And he, you know, I think a lot of people were surprised when he took the job, you know, thinking, what are you doing going to Cleveland? But, you know, he had spent 1 year there. I think 2001 he came over, and he worked for Mark Shapiro and Chris Antonetti. And I don't know, for whatever reason, they clicked and they hit it off, and he happened to come over here. They gave him a nice deal, and that was really the spark that turned this whole, I think, organization around, where he was able to come out and get some free agents to sign here. And they did a nice job in the offseason, a lot like what the Blue Jays did.
Rick, I, in my heart of hearts, I believe they're going to be a better team than everybody projects them to be. And that's partly because of Terry. And I talked to him just prior to him accepting the job this offseason. And he gave me his little insight about the challenge that he would have in starting with a team fresh and in a rebuilding mode. In talking yesterday with Sandy Alomar Jr., you know, he seems to be, every one of the coaches feel relaxed around him, very open-minded. With all that being said, I know the fire that, you know, that burns inside of him. Do you think he's going to be the kind of guy to relax and let things kind of fall into place as they all mature with this team? Or is he going to be the kind of guy that expects them to win more than maybe the rest of the world does?
I think he's got a realistic outlook on it. He, you can't change overnight. You're not going to, I mean, they won 68 games last year. So to improve upon that, if you could win maybe 10, 15 more this year and start going from there, I think that's going to be the realistic aspect. You never know. And I just like any other team in baseball, they're only going to go as far as their pitching carries them. They did a good job of, you know, getting some more offense over there, starting with Swisher and Michael Bourne, and they've got a couple of switch hitters. What they did, they brought in some veterans that, you know, that they played 150 games, or they averaged Swisher, Bourne. Mm-hmm. Those guys averaged 150 games over the last 5 years. So they brought in some everyday players to help the offense. But now it's going to turn around to the pitching staff. Now, Ken Masterson, Ubaldo Jimenez, they signed Brent Myers as a free agent. Can those guys, you know, carry him? And that's the key in baseball, is if you get the good starting pitchers that can help you out. And those guys are going to have to turn it around. And I think Terry's going to be realistic about this whole thing. We're going to go as far as the starters will carry it. The bullpen's been fine, so I don't think there's any concern there. It's all going to look on the starters.
Rick Manning joins us on Baseball Central. Talk to me a little bit, Rick, about Scott Kazmir. I think a lot of people are going to be surprised to see him in the majors, frankly.
Well, you're right, because he hasn't pitched there in a couple of years, and he was in independent baseball last year. I guess mechanically, from what they say, that he's not coming back from surgery. He's coming back from just bad mechanics, and I don't know if it was a dead arm or what it was, but he was throwing the ball much better this spring. Now, whether that holds up, who knows? But he did pitch well. The times I saw him pitch, he was throwing his fastball about 92, and he was able to get the fastball by some hitters. Of course, we're talking spring training, but will that slider be there? His changeup and his fastball is yet to be seen. But it's a guy that gives them a left-hander. If he can come back and pitch the way he did a few years ago, that remains to be seen.
Rick, how good do you think Justin Masterson can be?
He's got good stuff. I mean, mechanically, if he can keep intact, he's a big guy, and it seems like he can go out there and look like he's unhittable for three or four innings, and all of a sudden he'll have one inning where it seems like he just loses it. I think he's his best. He's got a vicious sinker. He doesn't throw the ball straight, and he's got very good movement on it. And when he can keep that ball around 92, anywhere from about 89 to 92 or 93, it seems like it has movement. Sometimes he gets a little strong and he throws it 94 to 95, and it seems to straighten out and it elevates up in the strike zone. But he definitely has the stuff that if he can stay within himself and find something, he can definitely be a winner in the big leagues.
Rick, we're talking about Justin Masterson, who's going to be on the mound tonight against R.A. Dickey. Here's, you know, your thoughts. Are, you've been in the game for a long, long time. You've seen a lot of pitching. You faced a lot of pitching in your career. You know, Masterson, you just mentioned he has trouble for that one inning, and I think he's going to face a lineup tonight that can be patient at times and explode for a lot of runs in one inning if he lets it get out of control. With that being said, they all have to go out and play the game tonight, and everybody's excited about that. But in Masterson's case, you know, going into tonight's game, do you think he's a guy that's going to get deep in the game, or do you think Terry's just going to be gingerly holding him back?
No, he's not going to be gingerly holding him back. He's your number one starter. He's got to go out and prove that he can pitch. I think the key for Masterson will be left-handed hitters. Can he get through the left-handed hitters? He can be awfully tough on right-handers when his stuff is working. Whether his slider's there, he can run it in on you. He is going to face a very tough lineup, let's face it. If they're back, and we opened up last year back in Cleveland, went 16 innings opening day, if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that doesn't happen tonight.
Not allowed. We don't do overtime, do we?
Well, we don't get paid for overtime. We will do overtime, though. I don't know. He's going to go out there, and he's going to, you know, nowadays it depends how stressful your pitches are and how long he's going to stay in there. He can match up pretty well against this lineup. But, yeah. I mean, it's a different lineup. You have Reyes. You have a little more speed. You have power. This is going to be a fun contest. I mean, Toronto, of course, a lot of people are picking them to be the favorite in the East. Yeah, that remains to be seen, but they've made so many key additions, big trades they signed. You got Cabrera in the outfield. Can he come back and play like he did last year for San Francisco? It's going to be interesting. It's going to be a fun matchup. I really am looking forward to it.
Rick Manning joins us on Baseball Central. Rick is the TV analyst for the Cleveland Indians. Rick, what do you think the upside for the Indians is this year? They're in a tough division. I mean, Detroit is loaded again. What do you think the upside is for this team? What's the best-case scenario?
They stay healthy. You get your first two starters, Jimenez and Masterson, that come back and they pitch like they're capable of pitching. Like I said, it's hard to improve 10, 15 games in 1 year. If they can do that, that would be a good year. I don't know. People look and they start talking playoffs. They don't realize how tough it is to. And I don't think the Central is a good division because Kansas City got much better when they got some starting pitching in there. I think the strength of baseball went out west.
Mm-hmm.
You know, over to when you have the Angels and you got the Rangers and you have Oakland out there, and Seattle is not a bad team. But it's still tough to improve 15 games from 1 year to the next. I don't care who you add.
Talk a little bit about the number two starter, Ubaldo Jimenez. Here's a guy that, when he was with Colorado, you know, almost unhittable for a couple of years, pitched just aggressively in the strike zone, and then the control issues kind of got the best of him. Cleveland picked him up, and it hasn't been exactly beautiful for him, but yet still got that big live arm. Talk about his spring and what you might project for him.
Okay, he's going to be about 29 years old. I wish that he had something that the guy sitting next to you has, a toughness and an edge. And, I mean, when you take the mound, you expect to win. He doesn't have that, I don't know, I call it an edge to a starting pitcher. He's too nice, man. He's got to be meaner. And of course, control. And when you go out and take the mound on your day every fifth day, you've got to want it, and you give it all you have. Not that he doesn't. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but, you know, everybody's different, and I think he just has to be a little tougher, mental toughness. You know, he can be 0-2, have a hitter down 0-2, and he lets him back into the count, and it could be your seventh, eighth, and ninth hitter where he's got to just bury him and put him away. You have to do things like that sometime and an edge. And I've seen him pitch poorly, and he comes out, and it doesn't seem to faze him. Well, to me, I don't like that. I mean, you should be upset with yourself on your day. If you don't go out and you don't pitch well, I think you should be affected by it. But we'll see. Control is going to be the key for him, Jeff. It really will be.
Rick, before we let you go, you talked about Terry Francona and the role or the ability he has in maybe selling the Indians to free agents and to the players. One of the things that I think one of the reasons he was hired. Obviously, he can manage. But I think the Indians also needed to send a message to the fan base, did they not? That you know,
absolutely right. After last year, I'll tell you, they after they hired Francona, it seemed to change a little bit. It gave them a little breath of fresh air. I'll tell you, after last year, when they won they went 5-24 in August. They only drew 1.6 million fans, and the fans were infuriated. They were terrible last year. They ended on a bad note. They didn't go out and spend any money. And, you know, for them to change the atmosphere and the attitude of the fan base and the people in Cleveland without even playing a game from last October till now has been really remarkable. You rarely see that. And I think it's because the ownership went out and they spent a little money on some free agents, and at least they see they're trying now, you know. And with Terry out there leading the way, he was the start of it. And then it was Swisher, and then they kept adding pieces and a couple of trades. I think they really feel that they made an effort to turn it around. And you know, in that town, that's all you have to do. If they see you're trying, and you know, they don't care. They just want a good day's work done and get after it and see what happens. And they've turned it around. But now you're going to have to go win. They're not going to draw fans just because they signed people over the winter. Now comes the point. You've got to win baseball games if you want to put fannies in the seats.
Rick, the Indians seem to be a little bit like the Minnesota Twins in that regard. You know, two poor years in a row for the Twins, and you know, how do you cut off the bleeding and keep the fan base without winning? And I think it's a hard thing to do, but. You mentioned the kind of the slide that they had in the later in the season. Mm-hmm. In general, we don't even have to pinpoint the Cleveland Indians, but in general, again, you're a guy that's been around this game forever. Why do you think it is that they let it go to get so bad and risked that whole fan base negativity?
You'd have to ask ownership. I can't tell you. I can't answer that question. You know, you have to, when you're in a mid-market team, it's a little bit different than other towns. And if you're not willing to go out and compete and spend on free agents and you're going to stay put, then you better darn well have a good minor league system where you can plug in some good young players. And I think that's what a lot of the teams strive for. It's just that sometimes you get caught and, you know you're not going to win. So why go out and spend $75 to $100 million on free agents when it's really not going to take care of the problem? You got to really put it back into your own organization and your minor league system, and sometimes that takes a little bit of time, and it's hard to understand, but it's a very difficult process. And a lot of teams go through it.